Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Justice Department is calling it a thwarted Iranian murder-for-hire plot to kill President-elect Donald Trump. Two men are in federal custody in New York City, and a third, Farhad Shakari, is believed to be in Iran. CBS's Scott McFarlane.
The three are accused of surveilling and targeting a U.S.-based dissident of Iran and other critics of the regime living in other countries. But in charging documents, prosecutors alleged last month Iranian officials urged Shakari to focus on killing Trump. The feds say Shakari claims to not have actually formulated the plan.
With Trump choosing campaign manager Susie Wiles as his chief of staff, CBS's Jake Rosen adds,
she's one of those people who sources have told me really kept Donald Trump on track through a lot of the big up and downs of this campaign, assassination attempts, court filings, court hearings, court cases, right? This was along four different fronts of legal issues that Donald Trump had to deal with in addition to a very tough primary schedule that he had to deal with.
The FBI is coordinating with the Justice Department and other federal authorities to investigate racist text messages sent to people across the country.
I have multiple friends that got the same exact message.
Atlanta college student Devereaux Adams was one of many who received the racist text message.
I felt scared, sad, kind of shaken by it.
In Connecticut, fear was mixed with fury.
I was angry, disgusted.
After Latasha Nelson read the phone message her daughter received.
That's CBS's Omar Villafranca reporting. Israel's foreign minister is in Amsterdam to meet with the Dutch Minister of Justice and Security after several Israeli soccer fans were attacked in the Dutch capital. CBS's Rami Innocenti.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu deployed several evacuation planes. Israeli Shahar Biton witnessed the attack. He's flying home to Tel Aviv.
And they all waited in groups of 20, 30, just waiting for us. It's not something that someone said, all right, let's just go out of the street and do something. They knew exactly what's going to happen and what they're going to do.
A defense official confirms that the Pentagon is lifting a ban on American contractors deploying in Ukraine as a way to help Kyiv's military maintain U.S. weapons systems sent to the region. CBS's MTS Taieb reports it comes amid concerns about an incoming Trump administration.
The fear many Ukrainians have is that Mr. Trump will try to pressure Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to give up Ukrainian territory to Russia in order to end the fighting. Now, in the last 24 hours or so, we heard from the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who was defiant, saying that no country would dictate terms to Ukraine as to how to end this war.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Bucks beat the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 123-100 win over the Utah Jazz last night in Milwaukee. That ended the Bucks' six-game losing streak. Now tonight, they're in New York to play the Knicks at Madison Square Garden before returning here when seven of their next eight games are at home. Doc Rivers asked, was it important to finally get a W?
Yeah, you know, it was a home game. We've lost two home games, so really important for us to win this game. We go back out on the road, and then when we come back, we get to actually stay at home.
College hoops, the Badgers with the 79-67 victory over Montana State. Guard John Blackwell on Wisconsin finding a variety of ways of putting up points.
We try to get to the free throw line as much as possible. Like last game, I think we were in double bonus early, and this game we were in double bonus. So whatever we can do to get free points from the line, I mean, we're trying to do that.
The state high school volleyball tournament going on in Green Bay. Middleton versus Hamilton tonight for the boys' state title. Girls' semifinals today with their state title game tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're a Star Wars fan, prepare to go into a lather. There is a new trilogy in the works from Lucasfilm. Writer-producer Simon Kinberg will write, produce, and develop the three new Star Wars films. It's been 5 years since we saw The Rise of Skywalker, which was the most recent Star Wars film in theaters. Since then, Lucasfilm brought us three shows in the Mandalorian world, including The Mandalorian, The Book of Boba Fett, and Ahsoka, and the upcoming Skeleton Crew. They also launched shows The Acolyte, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and Andor. Simon Kinberg is known for his writing and producing skills for several X-Men films and 2016's Deadpool. Variety reports the new trilogy is in the early stages of development, so there are no story details just yet. There has also been no announcement on when production might start. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and a low near 30 tonight. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow, couple of showers around in the afternoon, and especially by night. A high near 50. Low 50s with rain wrapping up early Sunday. Even with the sun back Monday, it only warms to 50. Currently it's 37.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, is in the host chair for the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you this afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the state of Wisconsin. The phone numbers are 855-752-4842. If you want to join the conversation, that's 855-75-CIVIC. Maggie's off today. I'm joined by Angela Lang, who's my usual co-guest host when I sub in here for Maggie. Angela Lang is the executive director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, and one of the leaders of the progressive movement in Wisconsin, frankly. So thanks for being with me, Angela. Yeah, it's been a hard week, so I'm glad we got you. Do we have your vocal there?
Yep, that was me. That was my end. I don't know how to use stuff. Happy to always be here. Every time you call, I'm like, yes, indeed, pending my schedule. I love to share space with you, especially now, too.
Yeah, I think it's really important to hear your perspective on a day like today. We've got a couple callers I wanted to get to. We've got Matt from Middleton. Matt, what's on your mind today?
Hey, guys, and bless you guys for what you do here at Civic Media. We're going to need you more than ever. I'm glad you mentioned Timothy Snyder. He's a main voice for Ukraine and fighting tyranny. He's been doing it for years, and he's brilliant. But I just want to tell you, we are in for a real hard time, and I'm not losing my anger. My anger fuels me, and I'm very angry. I'm angry at these conservative voters that do this mental jiu-jitsu all the time, trying to placate and pretend that they are not supporting a fascist movement, because that's what this is. You look up the definition, General Milley hit the nail on the head. This is fascism. And it's going to be violent. We're already seeing violence spread in our communities where people feel free to say whatever they want and be terrible to one another. And that's what fascism does. And we need to be ready for this. And we need to branch out and support each other to fight against this stuff. And if you see it happening in the street, don't be silent, because that's what they want us to do. Thank you, guys, and God bless.
Oh, great call.
Thanks for that.
Matt from Middleton, you know, he's right. There is this violence that's coming, and Fox is just, I saw something on Fox today that I almost couldn't believe, and that is that there were two of their announcers were talking about Jack Smith should get the death penalty. It's just like, jeez, really? That's where we're at? And that is just justifying and paving the way for, more violence to come, that kind of violent rhetoric. I want to dig into a little bit of what Matt said, being angry at conservative voters. I get that. I mean, I do think we need to talk to some people who voted for Trump who aren't flaming racists or sexists, who don't have Confederate flags flying in their yard and don't have really nasty bumper stickers and things like that. And I know some, I'm friends with some folks. I play a lot of cards. I play a lot of poker. And I know some decent folks who voted for Trump. I mean, I have to admit, half the state voted for Trump, half the country voted for Trump. They're not all incorrigible racists and sexists. There are a chunk that are incorrigible racist and sexist. There is a fascist movement of 10, 15, 20% of this country. They're not only Donald Trump cultists, they're fascists. They don't believe in democracy.
Yep.
We got to recognize that. Those aren't the folks we should waste a single moment trying to convince, because they're not right. going to come around anytime soon. But we do need to listen at first. It's always good to listen at first to people who voted for Trump, who we otherwise know as decent people until they prove otherwise, other than their voting, and try to figure out where they were coming from and how to, you know, bring these folks around. I do think that's part of what we got to do. So thanks, Matt from Middleton. We got Tom from Jackson on the phone. We'll take Tom's call, and then we're going to hear from Representative Francesca Hong, one of my favorites in the legislature. Tom, you're on the line. What's on your mind?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, hi, Matt. I'm glad to hear you're taking the spot today. And I hope you don't cut me off, but one thing I've not been hearing as to one of the main reasons, may not be the main reason, but it was certainly one of the main reasons in Kamala's presidential
Kamala's.
Run. And that is, I'm sorry, come on. Kamala.
Kamala.
That is the
You still Hello? There, Tom? Yeah. Are you still there? Talk to me.
Yes. Okay. That is abortion. And what I mean by that is that the Democrats are giving up something that they don't need to give up. And the rural people in particular think that Democrats are evil and mean and cruel by being for abortion. And I think the Democrats have to finally realize they need to come to a middle spot and become pro-life. And I don't mean the pro-life that the right is talking about, meaning total ban. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, the three main top issues in that are, you know, rape, incest, and the life of the mother. That should always be on the table and a push for. But I think the left needs to instead talk about adoption. And being pro-life, and they need to take away that from the right, that winning hand, especially in rural white countryside. I know that. I live in this area. I mean, these people, their goal is to stop abortion, and that's the key reason why these hard right-winger nutbags are winning, because I know many good right-wing people out here. It's the top of mind, and it has been for years, but it's just, as time goes by, it's not getting less. It's getting stronger.
Okay, I hear you, Tom.
And now, finally, you can see it. So I think the left needs to modulate their view on that to win.
I got you, Tom. Thanks for the call. Tom from Jackson. Go ahead, Angela.
I was going to say, I think it's interesting. One thing that I always found fascinating is like the term pro-life, because it implies the other side isn't, right? And so, like, there's that. But also, you look at the Republican Party that claims to be pro-life, quite frankly, does not care about life after birth. You do not care about Black Lives Matter. You do not care to make sure that there is support for parents raising children. And so I find it interesting that people use the term pro-life, but then after a baby is born, depending on what they look like, what zip code they're in, where is that same energy for being pro-life actually during life after the baby is born, right? And so I always find it very fascinating that people use that term. And I don't think that Democrats should compromise on their stance of abortion. I think there is something about being able to break down the pro-life language that folks are using. Because when you look at it, if there's two parties that are fighting for lives and supporting lives and making sure people have thriving lives and thriving communities and healthy communities, that's only the Democrats. And so I think it's very contradictory.
Yeah. I also think Tom's wrong. I appreciate the call and the perspective. But, you know, I think a majority of Americans are favoring abortion rights, and that's not why Kamala Harris lost, because we see the referendums did better than Kamala Harris even. So I think we should move on to Representative Francesca Hong. Do we have the representative here on the stream? Hey, Representative Hong, how are you doing today? I'm sorry, we can't hear your voice. Yeah, we'll try to get the the vocals to work. I can see your face on the screen. Representative Hong is one of the most progressive members of the state assembly. Last time we talked, she was up north working on some races. How are you feeling today, Rep Hong?
I am doing okay. Thanks for asking, Matt. How are you doing? Hi, Angela.
Hey, Fran.
Yeah, we're all just trying to process right now. Yeah. And I think that's what we should be doing before we do anything else. Just, you know, process politically, process emotionally, regroup, regather, pause, reflect, comfort. That's the mood I'm in right now. Tell me what your take on the elections were. Let's start with the national, Rep Hong.
I think there were some unforced errors, but it's important to name the context of there was a shorter amount of time with a new candidate to build a campaign. There was a lot of noise around the previous candidate, the president, that momentum did not bode well for Democrats. But I think in the end, the problem that has been lingering for Democrats since probably 2002, and in one thing that they've never really addressed in a way comprehensively, is the elitism that remains in the party that makes it harder and harder for us to be a home for working class families. And I think when you have the disparity in low to no income families and the wealthiest families and the wealthy few, and you've got both of those categories voting for Republicans, we have a serious issue as a party claiming to be big tent, but really only being actually, I would say, more exclusive. And so if you're the party that's more exclusive, the math is going to math and you're not going to get as many votes.
Mm-hmm. Right now, there's kind of the opposite criticism, and this happens every time Democrats lose. When they're not blaming, you know, black folks for not showing up, they're blaming the left for moving the party too far to the left. I saw this ridiculous anonymous Democrat quoted somewhere today who said, AOC is toxic to the Democratic brand with swing voters. And said her primetime DNC speaking slot played directly into the narratives that lost the election. Now it's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's fault that we lost the election. I mean, to me, this is just so far from being recognizing what happened. I mean, Bernie Sanders I saw him talk the morning of the election saying, look, no matter who wins this election, Democrats have to start talking to working people. This is before MSNBC had already coronated Kamala Harris. They thought she was going to win. And Bernie came on and said, look, doesn't matter who wins, we got to start talking to working class people. And it turns out Democrats weren't talking to working class people, weren't understanding the pain of a majority of Americans who have problems paying rent because rent's gone up so high or car insurance has gone up so high. I mean, it's outrageous that people are spending, you know, 30, 40, 50% of their income on rent. And, you know, Kamala Harris came to that late, but we'll talk about that a little more after the break. On the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for Maggie Dawn, and I've got a great group with us here, so join the conversation.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the news staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, bye. Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the state of Wisconsin. You can join the conversation, 855-752-4842. I'm joined by my guest host, Angela Lang. She's with me whenever I sub in here, if she's free, and she was kind enough to join today. And we're also joined by Rep. Francesca Hong. Now, I can't resist Rep. Hong because, you know, I used to coach soccer. I play tennis. I hate unforced errors in tennis. I used to play basketball. I hate unforced errors in basketball. So I got to ask you what the unforced errors were.
I think there was a missed opportunity to engage the multiple coalitions, the Asian American caucuses or coalitions, the Black coalitions, the Latino coalition, and work towards building solidarity for those three by resourcing them more. I think I heard later on that folks were getting literature or resources that weren't in different languages till later, or till it was too late. I think, you know, there was an opportunity to show that Democrats are fighting for us, that Democrats are one of us. And one of the issues that we constantly run into that I even find myself doing is that we lecture and shame before we actively listen and affirm. And when people are in pain, whether it's not, you know, with rising costs and mental health issues and, you know, folks are struggling, it's hard for them to hear from someone who is doing really well that they're going to make their lives better. And we didn't really articulate the policies clearly. I think we should have been talking about transformative policies, about healthcare, about student loan debt, about housing. And instead, we were parading around war criminals or daughters of war criminals and talking about becoming a bigger tent by going further right. And last I checked, folks who were Republicans oftentimes still vote Republican. And I think centering them as opposed to the folks who could tell us, you know, what is it about your economy? I want to know about your economy. You know, this isn't a conversation about the economy. What is your economy right now? And having trusted messengers to actually carry that and bring that back to a party. I wish we had done a lot more. I think we still are the party of working families, but we have a lot more to do in terms of making sure that we are each tailoring that message to the diverse group of working families that is who makes this country work.
You know, I want to pick up on two points you made there, Representative Francesca Hong. The first one is Liz Cheney. My son, my eldest son, kept telling me this is a mistake. You know, going to Liz Cheney and invoking Dick Cheney is not going to help you turn out the vote. It's not going to help you turn out the vote in the Democratic and progressive base. That's for damn sure. And how many, you know, Republicans are going to come around who haven't already come around when they watched Liz Cheney, you know, run the hearings and say what a threat that Donald Trump was back then. That you already got those folks, and she's not going to get you many more.
Who wasn't even liked by Republicans.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, I thought, well, maybe it's going to work. I mean, that's a strategy. I don't know if there's data behind the strategy, but it turned out it didn't work. And the other thing that you said that I think was so important, Representative Hong, is, you know, what economy are we talking about? I mean, when, you know, Biden talks about how great the economy is, and when Biden used the term Bidenomics, and they had Kamala Harris use the term too, which was deadly, you know, maybe the GDP is good. Maybe we're doing better than the Western European countries. But for the folks who can't pay their rent and for folks whose real income has gone down, that was not comforting. And I think that was just a total lack of awareness by folks who are doing well, that there are folks out there who aren't doing well, and citing macroeconomic statistics is not going to make them feel any better toward the end of the month when they're scrounging.
I think what's interesting is, and I had this conversation with folks, and I raised this as a flag, is the way we talk about the economy, especially when people are like, the job numbers, or we have these new things that like are all great. But what happens if you don't feel reflected in those numbers, in that success of those numbers? You feel left out. You don't feel like you're being engaged. But then also just like the language we use. And I remember talking about this in the governor's race. An ambassador of ours had brought this up years ago, is that when people talk about the middle class, there are some people that don't even identify with even being in the working class or in the middle class. They're like, I'm low income. I don't even, middle is what I'm aspiring to be. So when people are talking about rebuilding the middle class, there are some folks I've talked to that don't even think that they're talking to them. And I think that's, I think campaigns mean well when they talk about the middle class. But if people are really struggling, middle class is a dream for them. They're like, I'm poor. I'm, you know, lower class even. And I think I saw a shift in how she talked about an opportunity economy, which I thought was helpful. But was that shift too late? Did people still feel that? Did they feel reflected in the phrase opportunity economy versus, you know, uplifting the middle class type of messages that we always hear?
And that was the predominant message from her convention speech, uplifting the middle class. That the middle class is the, you know, the basis of our economy for then. So as you pointed out, Angela Lang, anyone who doesn't see them in the middle class doesn't know whether where they fit in. Representative Lang.
Opportunity doesn't speak to the urgency of the struggle of folks right now. You know, opportunity doesn't mean that I'm going to have some sort of immediate relief. And the tough thing for me is I was thinking about the child tax credit and how that did provide immediate relief, but that policy in itself still isn't associated enough with Democrats being the party that is fighting for us. So even when we have these policies, it's really hard for us to bring more folks in and build trust with working families. And I think a lot of it has to do exactly as Angela was talking about, the resonating message, the words, you know, I think we should absolutely have been talking more about rising costs. I don't think we talked enough about how low gas prices were under a Biden administration. And I wish we'd done a lot better job about public education. And there was no education policy that folks were talking about. And we know that strong public schools are strong communities. And this is an issue that has bipartisan support. And you saw it in referendums across the state where communities were fighting for their public schools.
Rep Hong, can you join us after the break, or do you have to go?
I will absolutely join you after the break.
Oh, that's terrific. That's Rep Hong. We are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The Justice Department charges three men in connection with an Iranian plot to kill President-elect Donald Trump. CBS's Michael Toscano.
DOJ says it was a murder-for-hire effort with an unnamed official in Iran's Revolutionary Guard instructing an Afghan national named Farhad Shakiri back in September to put the plan together.
President-elect Trump and his transition team have several positions to fill, with names brought up for Secretary of State, Attorney General, and Treasury Secretary. It comes after Susie Wiles is named Chief of Staff. CBS's Jake Rosen.
Susie Wiles has been long known for being one of those quiet, behind-the-scenes people who's pretty cutthroat in terms of what she gets up to in her political operations.
KIRO-TV's Madeline Ottilie reports on racist text messages sent to people across the country.
A disturbing text sent after dark.
You are going to be sent to a plantation, and they're going to pick you up at 10 p.m. sharp.
Ellensburg student Izella Raynor got two of those texts.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Bucks beat the Jazz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 123-100 win over the Utah Jazz last night in Milwaukee. That ended the Bucks' six-game losing streak. Now tonight, they're in New York to play the Knicks at Madison Square Garden before returning here when seven of their next eight games are at home. Doc Rivers asked, was it important to finally get a W?
Yeah, you know, it was a home game. We've lost two home games, so really important for us to win this game. We go back out on the road, and then when we come back, we get to actually stay at home.
College hoops, the Badgers with a 79-67 victory over Montana State. Guard John Blackwell on Wisconsin finding a variety of ways of putting up points.
We try to get to the free throw line as much as possible. Like last game, I think we were in double bonus early, and this game we were in double bonus. So whatever we can do to get free points from the line, I mean, we're trying to do that.
The state high school volleyball tournament going on in Green Bay. Middleton versus Hamilton tonight for the boys' state title. Girls' semifinals today with their state title game tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. Gladiator 2 is just a couple weeks away from hitting theaters. According to director Ridley Scott, Joaquin Phoenix almost quit the first Gladiator. The 86-year-old director says Phoenix got cold feet and told Scott he had to leave the project. It took a Gladiator-type effort from fellow castmate Russell Crowe, who told Phoenix he was being terribly unprofessional. At the end of the day, it was Scott who talked the actor into staying on the film. Gladiator 2 does not have Joaquin Phoenix or Russell Crowe, but is directed by Scott and opens November 22nd. The sixth Pirates of the Caribbean film is in development. Good Lord. Producer Jerry Bruckheimer says production on the film will start in late 2025, but the cast has not yet been assembled. Johnny Depp is a maybe, but Keira Knightley says that she will not take part unless it's the final film of the franchise. Fingers crossed. The film does not have a title yet. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and a low near 30 tonight. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow, couple of showers around in the afternoon, and especially by night. A high near 50. Low 50s with rain wrapping up early Sunday. Even with the sun back Monday, it only warms to 50. It's 42 right now.
To everyone who craves a rich and creamy hometown treat, let our team member Nevaeh tell you how we do it at Culver's.
Every scoop of Culver's fresh frozen custard is made in small batches throughout the day. Because where we come from, the little things make a big difference. Like bringing back a seasonal favorite. Our salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer and pumpkin spice shake are back for a limited time. Handcrafted with farm fresh dairy and real pureed pumpkin just for you.
From Wisconsin with love. Welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South. In Wisconsin Rapids.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we continue looking for California guy Eric Hovde, and we'll hear from Mr. Global Matt Randolph, oil and gas expert. He's fantastic. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
What I got, you got to give it to your mama. What I got, you got to give it to
Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's off today, and I'm joined by my usual subbing co-host, Angela Lang of Block, and Representative Francesca Hong, who represents the Madison area in the State Assembly. Rep Hong, I want to ask you what advice you're giving to your constituents or your young staff members this week, or what advice you have for our listeners who are in distress or in despair today.
I'm reminding folks that however you are feeling, however much you may be not feeling, I know I'm in my very much dazed and numb phase, is valid. And, you know, that there is always a journey that we can take to get to hope. But let's take the pressure off ourselves to hope in this moment. Mm-hmm. And I know that when it comes to movement building, we've already built so much. And I know with this looming new administration, there are going to be people who join our movement every single day. And so that means more people to tap in when you have to tap out. But I truly believe that systemic change, historic moments of crises, people going through the worst struggles. We always have folks, whether it's artists or poets, people who have been able to get us through while others are working in many other lanes. So I think right now that's what I'm reminding folks of.
You know, I love the invocation of the poets. We played Wendell Berry a little earlier. I want to see if we can play this very famous poem, the last stanza of a very famous poem by W.H. Auden, the British poet, who wrote a poem called September 1st, 1939, the day the Nazis attacked Poland. Here's the last stanza. Give a listen
to this. September 1st, 1939, by W.H. Auden. I sit in one of the dives on 52nd Street, uncertain and afraid, as the clever hopes expire of a low, dishonest decade. Waves of anger and fear circulate over the bright and darkened lands of the earth, obsessing our private lives. The unmentionable odor of death offends the September night. Accurate scholarship can unearth a whole offense from Luther unto now that has driven a culture mad. Find what occurred at Linz, what huge imago made a psychopathic god.
I did want to hear his voice, but I also wanted to get to this. Actually, I wanted this last stanza, which I'll read my own self. Defenseless under the night, our world in stupor lies. Yet dotted everywhere, ironic points of light flash out wherever the just exchange their messages. And then he concludes with this incredible last stanza. May I compose like them of Eros and of dust, and catch this, beleaguered by the same negation and despair, show an affirming flame. I just think that is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do look at a time like this too. Artists, musicians, poets, for solace, for perspective, for inspiration. But one of the things I like about that last line, other than it's poetry, is the importance of affirmation. What do we affirm in difficult times?
Mm-hmm.
To me, you know, that gets crucial. And so, you know, I look around and I start close to home, you know. We affirm love, family, friends. You know, that's what we got. And it's beautiful. But then, you know, you look politically. And, you know, I believe in solidarity. Solidarity is crucial. And then the things we're for. We're for kindness. We're for generosity. We're for justice. We're for equality. We're for freedom. We're for peace. We're for democracy. We're from Mother Nature, who's under siege right now. And so, as dark as it is, you know, I just think by dealing with our emotions, and it is an emotional time. Sorry to bring my emotions to the table here, but it is what it is. That we need to first be gentle with each other and ourselves. Be gentle with our loved ones. Recognize where we're at, and we'll go forward. We'll get through this. It's going to be hard, and it's going to be especially hard on people who are not white, on people who are trans, on people who are undocumented. And Lord knows, you know, how far the fascists are going to go. But the other thing to remember is fascists never survive in power very long. It's a fact. I mean, fascism, I also think we should recognize that capitalism's devouring our democracy. And fascism is an effect of a product. And why? It lets fascism happen because capitalism doesn't deliver the goods. It no longer delivers the goods to the majority of the people in this country. They are suffering. That's what we saw on Election Day. People suffering economically and wanting a change so that their material conditions are better. And capitalism won't provide it. And the oligarchs aren't going to provide it either. And so that's one reason capitalism devours democracy. The other is the rich buy the political system. I mean, here we have Elon Musk throwing ungodly amounts of money at it. We've seen it here in Wisconsin with the richest people in Wisconsin and the Elons and the folks down in Beloit, Diane Hendricks throwing so much money, polluting. You know, they can buy our politicians. They, you know, they try to buy our laws. So we see that happening. And so we are seeing fascism come out of capitalism and the crisis of capitalism. That at the macro level is where we're at. And so we need to, you know, talk about a better system here, a fairer system than what we got than this. And this isn't advanced industrial capitalism. I mean, it is advanced, but it is also cowboy capitalism, too, at the same time. And so, you know, that's what we're dealing with. And those are big forces. Kamala Harris couldn't, even if she had no unforced errors, may not have been able to deal with these factors. And so we got to address them. Bernie addresses them. AOC addresses them. Francesca Hong addresses them. Angela Lang addresses them. But, you know, we all got to do that. Francesca Hong, I want you to talk about a happier thing, and that is we gained some ground in the state legislature. Tell us how that happened and what that means.
We've got 45 Democrats elected to the state assembly, and we picked up 4 seats in the state Senate, which was all of the targeted races. And I think that this means locally especially, people are beginning to gain trust in their representatives and that they want deliverables, and Democrats, our assembly candidates, talked about that. We talked about how it's at the state legislature where there's a $4 billion surplus and we can invest back in our communities to make sure cities and townships have what they need to provide the services that Wisconsinites deserve. We talked about protecting abortion rights and reproductive freedom and how we can put that into our state constitution. We talked about investing in public schools and making sure we're bringing 90% back to special education. I mean, these are things that matter to Wisconsinites that we said we can do in the state legislature when we have the majority. And folks are excited about that because we're saying we're fighting for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. The people of Wisconsin are for public schools. They demonstrated that overwhelmingly passing the vast majority of the referendums that were put before them, even though it meant that their taxes were going to go up a little bit.
And I think what's important for Democrats to realize here is that we're able to name the villain and talk about a deliverable when we talk about public schools. It was Republicans who have been defunding public education for the last 13 years, both at K-12 and for our universities. We are feeling the consequences of that. It is destroying communities and impacting our kids. And so folks across the country and in Wisconsin, too, are fighting back. I will always say it's public schools, regardless of where your children are going to school, public schools make for stronger communities, and people want that.
No doubt about it. To what extent were the FAIR Maps and the FAIR Maps movement at play here in the gains that the Democrats made?
Oh, absolutely. The new maps played a huge role in making sure that we were able to compete in competitive seats, that we had Democrats, both in safe districts and more competitive districts, actually campaigning and competing with Republicans who had to go back to the communities and say they were going to do something about what was going on, the struggles that folks are feeling. And so fair maps took us out of this, complacency where representatives, Democrat or Republican, have to actually answer to their communities. And so we saw a completely different campaign landscape when you have folks who actually have to listen to people.
And will this make a difference in the Capitol? Because I know when I was there, when they had the vast majority of power there, they were so arrogant. The Republicans were so disdainful, so dismissive of Democrats, even their colleagues on, committees with them. They just kind of laughed everybody off. Do you think it's going to change the culture in there?
Absolutely. I think that we will not be forced into taking having to pick between two evils, what's worse for our communities and what's going to be worse. Instead, there will be opportunities for compromise, because Republicans are going to have to go back to their communities with some tangible good in order to be able to campaign again. And so the elimination of complacency is what I'm looking forward to, and actually talking about policies that are going to improve lives and building back that trust that government is a force of good and can be used for good. And that's what we need to get all Wisconsinites back to, so we can have a democracy that works for everyone.
I just want to give a shout out, one, for anyone that's listening that may not know, Rep Hong is a dear friend of mine. And it's people like her and her leadership to be able to crisscross the state in this election season and have those conversations. Like, she's just not knocking doors for herself. In fact, I almost forgot she was on the ballot herself, because she's, helping other Democrats across the state get elected as well. And I think that that should be an example of how we continue to show up in this moment, by listening to each other, by talking to folks, by maybe even going to places that you don't live and engaging and understanding that we're far more alike than we are divided. And I think I just wanted to name that it's through people like Rep Hong and others that are adamant about kind of not always playing this traditional game of politics of how we get elected, but actually bringing humanity back to politics. I think a lot of us got in this work because we want to make a change for folks, because we love the humanity in others. But sometimes we lose that along the way. And I think Rep Hong is a reminder of how we continue to bring people together, but also to build that bridge. And it feels so distant, especially right now. But I think, again, that's an example of how we need to continue to show up moving forward.
And congratulations, Rep Hong, on your reelection, too. It does seem to just kind of, we take it for granted, and we shouldn't take it for granted. So congratulations.
I'll say that I was very excited to see so many colleagues of mine who are in safe Democratic seats knock thousands of doors, some who still had more competitive races knock hundreds of doors for folks who were in the most competitive races, and to see this collective, this shift to collaboration and making sure that we are lifting everyone up, because we are the Democrats have to be the party that's for all people. We exemplified that with how we campaigned this past cycle.
Well, Francesca Hong, thanks for being on the show with us. It's been great having you and having your perspective. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting with Angela Lang of Block, and we'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point. And they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Mark, yeah, Ing, yeah, Bird, yeah, 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 Mark and Bird. Now everybody, have you heard?
Have you heard?
He's gonna buy me a Mockingbird. And if that Mockingbird won't sing.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you for this last segment of the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to get some last second thoughts out there on the air, give us a holler at 855-752-4842. I'm joined by Angela Lang, who's been kind enough to co-host with me today, and I always enjoy it when she does. Angela Lang is the executive director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Wow, what a show, Angela.
Yeah, I just want to say, as always, I'm always grateful anytime you ask me to co-host with you, but especially today. I didn't know how it would go, but I knew it was one of those things that personally, just sharing space and being able to be real and talk about our feelings and reflect as full people, I think is important. So thanks for that. And like I said, and I will always keep saying, as long as my schedule allows, when you send that email, I'm there. I really enjoy these conversations with you.
Well, you're quite welcome. And it's so comforting to have you here and your presence. You know, every time I co-host with you, my friends and family members say, that Angela Lang, she's terrific. So that's reassuring. I'm not sure what the best way to kind of come to a close today, other than just to try to tell people again, just to be easy on yourselves, those of us who've thrown ourselves into this effort, and the listeners here at Civic Media. My hat's off to Civic Media, too. Yeah. I do think Civic Media is playing a crucial role in trying to respond with civil dialogue, even with people who disagree with us all across the state. Also to counter the barrage of right-wing propaganda that people have been getting on the radio airwaves here in this state for years and years. Right-wing radio that brought us Scott Walker and helped bring us Donald Trump, frankly. Yeah. And that right-wing media infrastructure was no accident. This was the brainchild of the billionaire right-wing Koch brothers and others like them and right-wing foundations like the Bradley Foundation. They set up the institutions. They got the guests on the airwaves. They bought the airwaves. And it's just been, you know, look at Rupert Murdoch and Fox. I mean, these folks knew what they were doing. And it wasn't something that happened this election cycle. It wasn't something that happened this year, last year. It's been a 5 or 6 decade clever plan by the far right on how to gain power.
Yep.
And you know, they're popping the champagne bottles today because their plan worked. And for too long, folks with means on the left, including folks in Hollywood and folks in industry, or folks who made it the old-fashioned way by inheriting it, you know, they did not invest in a progressive media structure. And we're paying the price for it right now. We're paying the price for it. And civic media, God bless civic media, they're trying to counter it. And they're trying to counter it in an organic way here locally, unlike what happened with Air America. You know, Air America tried a national thing and just have national folks and not be connected to community. We're connected to community here. We're trying to connect to community here on civic media with stations all across the state and with local hosts for much of the day. And I just think it's gratifying. I know whenever I'm in my car, I'm listening to civic media. And it's so refreshing because you could drive around Wisconsin, as I did when I was executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and just, you know, I'm trying to stay awake because I'm driving home and it's late, and I'm just scanning, you know, I'm just scanning as a way to stay awake, and it's just right-wing radio, right-wing religious radio, sports talk, or top 40, or oldies. That's all there was. And there was no way to find intelligent political conversation on your dial. I mean, there is NPR in Wisconsin Public Radio. Sometimes it's valuable. Sometimes I find it less than valuable. But there was no place for this local political dialogue to go on. And one thing we've learned, you know, we've learned it from Kathy Kramer about the, you know, the politics of resentment. People want to talk. People want to be listened to. People want to be respected. People want to be heard. And they don't want to be dismissed as trash, as Joe Biden called them so foolishly at the end. And Kamala Harris must have just gasped when she heard that because it was so counter to the messaging that she was trying to bring forward. But we do need to engage with our fellow citizens who aren't dangerous right wingers, but voted for Trump because they think the economy may be better under Trump. I mean, I think we've got to reconcile ourselves to that at some point.
I think we have one. Do we still have one more call that we can take?
Sure.
There was one.
Did have a caller. The caller hung up. Let me see.
Got it. Okay. Line.
Give me 1 second.
Yeah, I want to thank the callers who have called. I want to thank Angela Lang, of course. I want to thank
Brett. We have one on the line right now. Yeah, 30 seconds.
Sam Liebert, let's take this call.
Yeah, hi, Matt and company. This is Angela. Great show. I did want to counter. And I'll just throw this out. I disagree that there weren't remarks made that pertain to people in lower income and middle class. For working families, when the proposal was to have a $6,000 tax credit for birth of a child, $25,000 tax credit to help you buy a house, $50,000 to help you start a new business. I've never heard of that before. And, you know, I come from low income and now middle income. I would have loved to have had something like that. And I feel that when Representative Hong said that there wasn't, the Dems didn't do a lot on the subject of mental health, Tammy has led the way on mental health, particularly with suicide lines and with help for farmers who are having problems with mental health, depression, et cetera. I just think that my personal opinion is that part of the reason, the biggest reason why Kamala Harris had problems was because this is still an incredibly sexist country. And I don't know, I think I'm going to have to be 120 before we're going to see a woman president. That's my two
thoughts. I hear you, Joe. It was a big part and remains a big part. And that glass ceiling seems reinforced by steel bars right now, unfortunately. Thanks for listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. Saying goodbye, thanking Cardi in the booth. And stay tuned for the Dom Salvia Show. And have a nice weekend. Take care of yourselves.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we're all about Madison as I welcome comedian Johnny Beaner back to the show, and then WMDX morning show radio legends John Peterson and Gordy Young join the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Dino!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.